This broadcast is brought to you by Multimedia Group Incorporated, Free Speech TV, World Link TV, Independent News Network, Peace TV, DC TV, Pacifica Radio's WBAI and Democracy Now!, and Working Assets Radio. And now, the world says no to war.
To gather to oppose the Bush administration's war on Iraq. I'm Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, here with Robert Knight of WBAI and Verna Avery Brown of Pacifica Radio. We're your hosts for today's coverage of what promises to be an historic anti-war protest. This rally near the United Nations in sub-freezing temperature was organized by United for Peace and Justice, a coalition of hundreds of anti-war organizations. In addition, local New York City groups have organized over 70 feeder marches that will converge here at this city-approved site at 51st and 1st Avenue. This unprecedented live coverage is brought to you by Free Speech TV, Multimedia Group, World Link TV, Peace TV, Independent News Network, Downtown Community Television, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Democracy Now!, WBAI, and Pacifica Radio. We have over a dozen camera crews and radio reporters here today bringing you full coverage of this remarkable show of resistance. From the main stage, people who have been outspoken and tireless opponents of America's war plans will address a crowd that is expected to stretch north the length of First Avenue. Laura Flanders of Working Assets Radio is here to provide interviews with many of the speakers. Our crews have fanned out through the crowd and the city to bring you firsthand reports. In the distance, we hear Richie Havens, who's opening and singing. Throughout the day, we'll be bringing you reports from some of the demonstrations happening in over 600 cities around the world. It's estimated that 10 million people will take to the streets today across the globe. The world says no to war. Right now, let's check in with Laura Flanders. She's currently live near the main stage. Laura.
Welcome. Glad to be here with you. What a scene. There are 10 blocks of people behind the stage where we are. There are celebrities. There are activists. I'm Laura Flanders with Working Assets Radio, and we're going to be here with you all day, bringing you the speakers and the activists and the community members who have shown up this morning to participate in this protest to stop the war. Yes, Amy, you can hear Richie Havens. He's rocking on the stage, looking out over 10 blocks of protesters. I'm here with Jamie Vasquez from Veterans for Peace. Jamie, who are Veterans for Peace? Who do you represent? How many people are here on your behalf?
Veterans for Peace is a national organization with 3,000 to 5,000 members. We represent the military who has fought in all of America's wars, and we're here to tell the people today that we are opposed to this war, that there is only one lesson in war, and that is to struggle for peace and justice, acceptance and understanding in the world. You know, during the war in Iraq in 1991, the United States sent 601,000 Americans. 293 were killed and 460 were wounded. But since then, over 10,300 of those veterans have died, and 221,000 are receiving disability compensation and treatment from the Veterans Administration. We impacted an entire generation of Americans, and that's what's going to happen now if we go with this war. We want to prevent that from happening again.
Jamie, there are over 150,000 people currently stationed in the Gulf, going up to 180,000 anytime now. 40,000 reservists and National Guard called up just this week. What are you hearing from the front about how many people are there and what kind of conditions they're facing, and what's the morale level like?
Well, the morale is high. We support our men and women in uniform. They are following the orders of their government, which they have the duty to uphold. Their numbers in the Middle East is up to 170,000. We know that they want at least 200,000 before they go to war. You know, I believe that we may go to war, but I also believe that there's a chance for peace. If the people stand up now and voice their objections to war, there will be peace. And if you today are watching us and you don't stand up for war, next year or 5 years or 10 years from now, when your children or your grandchildren ask you what you did to stop the war, Dad or Mom, and you're going to say, I didn't do anything. So it's important for people to stand up. You know, I saw my friend in Vietnam die. I've been to war, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
This is Jamie Vasquez with Veterans for Peace. Jamie, thank you. Back to you, Amy.
Well, Laura, we are listening now to Richie Havens on the stage as he chants No War and Freedom.
Before I get off the stage, and that is this. I heard a lot of people talking about if Martin Luther King was here today, he would be saddened by what he finds. I say, if Martin Luther King was here today, he would look out here and say, I see my dream coming true.
A round of applause. And I'd like to bring up now Mike Marcucci from British Stop the Coalition, British Stop the War Coalition. I understand 2 million people have walked in the UK.
Good morning and welcome and congratulations for taking part in the greatest global protest against war in human history. I'm here and proud to represent the Stop the War Coalition in Britain. Tony Blair may be George Bush's number one international ally, but the people of Britain will not support and will not cooperate with this war. Today in London, 2 million people have marched against this war. That is one out of every 25 human beings in Britain. In Rome, as we speak, there are another 2 million people marching, and Italy is another one of George Bush's allies. And in Spain, the third of George Bush's allies in Europe, there are 1 million people marching against the war. So in coming out today, you have joined with the overwhelming global majority. And these people in Europe are not marching because they're anti-American. They are reaching out to the ordinary people of America because they know that George Bush does not speak for you. So I say congratulations to you. Congratulations to all of us. This is the beginning of a global movement that will stop this war. We will remain proud of our diversity, respectful of our differences, and united in our determination to stop an unjust, cruel, and brutal war. Thank you very much.
This is KPFA or KPF Berkeley or KFCF Fresno.
We are listening to more than 100,000 people who are saying no to war. We just heard the speaker from Britain who talked about the protests, the estimates at least 1 million people in Britain, over 1 million people in Italy. Coming up, we're going to hear the former Archbishop of South Africa, Desmond Tutu, Susan Sarandon, Danny Glover, Harry Belafonte. Verna, when you were coming up here from Washington, D.C., you spoke to Martin Luther King III, who will also be addressing the crowd.
That's right, Amy. Actually, I met Martin Luther King III right outside the gates here, and he explained that he has been, as his father has been, against war from the very beginning, any type of war. He said that if his father was here, he quoted his father and said that his father often said that you can't use darkness to put darkness out. Only light can put darkness out, and you can't use violence to put out violence. You have to have nonviolence to put out violence. He said that in order to stop the terrorizing, you have to use means other than terrorizing, which is what this administration seems to be doing. But Amy, I mean, I met so many people coming in this morning. It is really just a testament to the human spirit to see so many Americans out here braving these 22-degree temperatures. You know, our hands are frozen, our feet are frozen, our noses are running. But the point of the matter is that it's not the kind of crowd that people like to say and paint it as only young, idealistic youth only that are here and that will be working for Wall Street or in the business sector in about 10 years. I saw one woman here in a full-length mink coat with matching earmuffs, and she just carrying a sign saying, "War, no war, peace, please." I was very struck by that. I like to call the people that are out here today, Amy, patriots for peace, because it really takes quite a commitment to actually invest and come here and brave these cold temperatures to make a political statement.
It is bitter cold, and there is a very high spirit here in New York. We are also right next to the United Nations. Robert, yesterday, yes, it was historic, and Hans Blix and the UN nuclear weapons inspector, Mohammed Al-Bardi, was there, and they delivered a message I don't think the United States wanted to hear. And much of the Security Council delivered a message to the United States.
Yes, indeed. In fact, as we sit here now, we're being hovered over by police helicopters. We're slightly less than a half mile away from the United Nations, but the most distant helicopter looking over the crowd running up First Avenue is at least a mile away. There is a significant gathering here today, but this is really the second protest against Bush policy at the UN this week. The first one did indeed come at the Security Council, where Hans Blix refuted many of the allegations that were made a few days ago by Secretary of State General Colin Powell. He said that the inspection place where there was testing of rocket exhaust was there simply because of the configuration of the plant, not because of any deception. He also said that the routine activity of the site did not prove any of the nefarious things that Powell was asserting. Throughout the Security Council session, France, Germany, and other nations called for a continued effort at peace. The United States left with its tail between its legs, and now people around the world have more to tell them.
In the background, we're listening to one of the performers. The stage is grand. There is a big sign with lots of faces that says, "The world says no to war." Let's take a listen.
Allahu Akbar!
Allah is supreme. No God worthy of worship but Allah. O Allah, strengthen our faith, our Lord, that we might continue to hate evil and oppression in our hearts, speak out against it with our tongues, and struggle against it with our hands and our very being. Rabbana anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya zal jalali wal ikram. Our Lord, you are the God of peace, and from you comes peace, praise, and honor be to you, O Lord of the Most High and Exalted. Amen.
Let us pray.
You are listening to some unprecedented coverage, media collaboration of the massive anti-war protests. The world says no to war. We turn now to Laura Flanders.
Thanks, Amy. I'm Laura Flanders. I'm here with Larry Cohen from the Communications Workers of America. The CWA were one of the first unions to sign a resolution against this war. Why? Why do communications workers care so much?
Well, I think like most working families, we're dealing with the worst economic disaster in 75 years. We think this White House, this administration, has its priorities all wrong. We think that there's no evidence to link the terrorism that occurred here in New York on September 11th to Iraq. We think that, like unions and working families around the world, it's time we speak out, and it's time we say to stop Bush and to start peace.
When did you sign that resolution? When was it announced?
January 16th. We passed that unanimously at our executive board.
Now, how many unions have come out against this war at this point?
I think there are hundreds of local unions. There are still few national unions, and we're trying, by our example and that of a few others, to get the whole labor movement here moving fast before it's too late.
In New York City, how many CWA members do you think you have at this demonstration right now?
I think there are thousands here. It's hard to know exactly. We have about 60,000 members in the metro area, and those CWA District 1 has endorsed the rally, which is that district of the union.
Now, the CWA has done a lot of work in the area of media concentration and how your industry has changed over the last 10 years. Briefly, what condition do your workers find themselves in now as they approach trying to cover what might be an unending war, far-flung? Are you equipped? Are your union members prepared and able to do the work they need to do if we were to go to war?
Yeah, I think the members are ready for that. Part of our argument with the FCC has been to maintain diversity of information so that demonstrations like this and not just the Bush view are presented to the citizens of the world. And that will continue to be a major focus to make sure we don't just have, you know, one view and one network presenting what's going on here.
All right. Where do you go next? What are your next steps for the union?
Well, we have a major bargaining with Verizon and with GE. We just had a two-day national strike at GE to maintain health care. You have GE, the richest company in the world that also owns NBC, where we have 4,000 more members, cutting the health care of its workers at a time when they report record profits and tell Wall Street times have never been better. Pay Jack Welch, the CEO, $10 million a year pension, and yet turn around and cut the benefits for their own employees.
What's your message to the workers at home who couldn't be here today?
Take a stand. Get your members of Congress, your elected officials moving. Get out there, talk about peace in the workplace, and build a union.
All right, Larry Cohen from CWA, thank you so much. Back to you, Amy.
Thank you, Laura. We have just gotten word of a youth protest that is coming up from Union Square that has been stopped by police. First, we heard that there were arrests. That has not been confirmed at this point, but they have stopped them and only let a few at a time, four and five people through at a time. We were very concerned in the events leading up to today that people would be stopped from coming, but people are coming clearly by the tens of thousands. We don't yet have an official estimate. Verna.
Amy, I was just thinking that this growing, vibrant movement for peace must be posing a threat to the Bush administration. The denial this week of a permit to march has really been pretty much unprecedented in the history of this state. The group United for Peace and Justice had a very basic but compelling argument that it's our constitutional right to march, right for free speech. But the judge, Barbara Jones, I believe, ruled against that argument, saying that security was at stake and that rights are being honored through the demonstration and that denying a permit to march is not an infringement of the Constitution. And Second Appeals Court judge actually upheld that decision. But of course, the determination of the human spirit found a creative way to bypass that. And as you said earlier, hundreds of feeder marches are actually feeding into this demonstration.
And not everyone is here yet, Robert.
Indeed. The tactics of crowd control, I think, are very much an issue here in New York. It bears pointing out that the denial of permit by the police department for a march for this major rally was assisted by federal authorities, federal attorneys, an amicus brief from the Bush administration to help prevent the march that might have united everyone and made them be seen as one large whole unit. Over the years, the New York City police have specialized in the tactic of fragmentizing crowds, of setting up metal cages to keep people within one block and another block and prevent people from having transit. So it's not really apparent how big demonstrations are sometimes here in New York.
Well, Robert, we now have Melbourne, Australia on the line, where there was the largest protests in Australia's history. Welcome to our broadcast, The World Says No to War. Can you describe what took place in Australia? We don't hear the phone, but what we do hear in the background are religious leaders from many different religious groups who are coming forward. They are on the stage now, and that is a very important part of the protest that is being expressed all over the country today, from Cleveland to Madison to Tampa to Washington, D.C., to Los Angeles, to Albuquerque and Santa Fe. In Maine today, we got word of protests as far as Dili, East Timor, the Timorese saying no to war in their new independent nation. And so as this begins with Richie Havens and then the religious leaders, we're going to see a lot of people, be hearing from a lot of people today, as you were saying.
There were protests also at McMurdo Base in Antarctica today.
We may have had some like that here.
Phone difficulties with Australia because they're on the other side of the earth and it is dark there now. But here in New York City, it is a bright, clear sky. There had been predictions of snow and bone-chilling temperatures, and yet the brightness and the spirit of the rally are matched by the weather.
You know, Amy, you were talking about the religious leaders that are speaking out against this war. Hundreds and thousands of them across the country have been interviewed on Peace Watch, and they've expressed the fact that this is in the Christian doctrine's definition of a just war. This is considered to be an unjust war. Even the minister in Bush's own church has spoken out against this war. The Pope, most recently, Pope John Paul II, has gone to Iraq to urge.
In fact, Tariq Aziz went to the Vatican. Let's go to Laura Flanders now, right next to the stage.
We're back. I don't know, nothing about cold going on around here, nothing but hot behind the stage here in New York today. Amy, I'm here with Representative Dennis Kucinich, and I'd like to hear from the representative a little bit about what's happening in Congress, how much support is growing for those of you in the Progressive Caucus and others who have initiated the call to bring about a reconsideration in the Congress of the rights they gave the president last fall.
Well, first of all, it needs to be remembered that nearly two-thirds of the Democrats in the House of Representatives voted against the first Iraq resolution. And a number of us are insisting that the president has the responsibility to come back to the Congress because we did not authorize war. There's a specific provision in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, that says that only Congress has the power to declare war. We have not declared war, and the president has no right to take it upon himself to wage war.
So what are the next steps, Representative?
Well, there's a court case that was filed last week in Boston Federal Court, and we're hoping that we can get at least a favorable decision from the court to take it back to the Congress so that we can at least have the People's House indicate whether or not they want to commit our young men and women to battle.
Tell me about the people you represent, your constituents. Where do they stand on this war? And describe them a little bit for us.
There's no case for this war, period. The administration has no credible case for war. They cannot link Iraq to 9/11, to Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11, to the anthrax attack on our country. The anthrax came from Fort Detrick, Maryland, and the last I checked, that's not in Iraq. Iraq does not have missiles which can strike at the United States. Our own Central Intelligence Agency is quoted in the Washington Post said Iraq doesn't have the intention of attacking the United States. So then, what is this war about? That's what people want to know. What is this war about? Because it certainly isn't about disarming weapons of mass destruction. We can do that. It's about something other than that.
All right. Dennis Kucinich, representative from Ohio, thank you so much for being with us here today. Amy Goodman, back to you.
Laura, Robert, and Verna and I are now talking to Rita Lazar and Kelly Campbell, and they are here, just passed by with their procession, September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. Kelly lost her brother-in-law, Craig Amundson, and Rita Lazar lost her brother, Abe Zalmanowitz. Are you making your way to the stage?
We've been trying to for about an hour, and it's difficult, but we're amazed. There are thousands of people feeding in from every street. It is magnificent.
Kelly, a lot of people, George Bush, I should say, has said that the reason that the U.S. must bomb Iraq is because of September 11th. You lost your brother-in-law on September 11th.
Yes, I lost my brother-in-law, Craig Amundson, in the Pentagon on September 11th. And we, the families of September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, disagree with the president on this issue. We believe that going to war with Iraq is not the way to honor the loss of our loved ones. It's not the way to prevent future terrorist attacks in this country. We've seen no evidence that links September 11th to Saddam Hussein. We see no evidence that Saddam Hussein presents an imminent threat to our country, but we do see evidence that this war presents an imminent threat to our country, to service people like my brother-in-law, to families in Iraq that our members have visited with. This war is the wrong thing to do. It's the wrong thing for America, and that's why we've got 45 people here who lost family members on September 11th here at the rally to make our voices heard.
Your brother-in-law was a graphic designer at the Pentagon?
Yes, my brother-in-law worked for the Army, and he drove to the Pentagon with a bumper sticker that said, "Visualize World Peace."
Rita, George Bush invoked your brother's name, Abe Zalmanowicz, in his National Cathedral speech. What did you think?
When my brother died, I was devastated. When George Bush mentioned him to justify killing others, I was equally devastated. I know my country is going to war for reasons other than to avenge my brother's death. And I'm not going to let them. I and Kelly and Peaceful Tomorrows and hundreds of millions of people all over the world are not going to let George Bush kill innocent people for oil.
I want to thank you both as you try to make your way to the stage. We are right behind the stage right now, and it is difficult. Yes, coming into this area, the police have sealed it off, and we're hearing the chants in the background.
War down! Peace up! War down!
Peace up! War down! Peace up! War down! Peace up! War down! Keep going! Peace up! War down! Peace! Let me hear you! We can't see how far up First Avenue we are! We can't count the blocks! Let me hear you! Peace up! War down! Peace up! War down! Are we ready? No? Help me out here! Peace up! War down! Books, not bombs! Books, not bombs! Books, not bombs! Are we going to prevent a war today? Peace up! War down! 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 Are we ready? We can't count! I think I see Boston. Is Boston here? Is Cleveland here? Cleveland's right here. Is New Jersey here? Or are you still in New Jersey? The rally goes so far.
Is D.C. in the house? I know D.C. somewhere. Baltimore! Hey, anybody from Delaware? Oh, I know somebody's here.
You're not called, are you? You couldn't be called because you're with millions of people around the world in 600 cities, so we know you're warm, and you're going to stay here warm until we do the next action tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. This is only the beginning because we have an historic moment, an historic opportunity to prevent a war. Are we going to stop this war? I didn't hear you. We're going to stop this war. We're going to feed the cities and feed the children in our cities, not drop bombs. Are we ready?
It might be cold, but we're going to warm it up today. We got a voice, we got a thing to say to all of the world, and particularly the leadership of the United States. No war! No war! No war! No war! No war!
And now, to give you an official welcome to New York, our very own Congresswoman,